Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In this Gospel passage, we have from Jesus these very important themes of eternal life and then eternal loss. When he speaks about those who will perish, he's talking about those who will lose everything, eternal loss in hell, actually. And he speaks about if we believe in him, we shall have eternal life. God sent his only Son that whoever believes in him might not perish, might not suffer eternal death, but may have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. And he also speaks about the great distinction between light and darkness. And he's speaking more, not so much about natural light and darkness, but more of the spiritual light and darkness. And here we learn that life is from Jesus Christ. The fullness of life is from Christ. And I think one of the things that people worry about in life is they worry about, are we living life to the full? Am I living life in a way that will bring forth the greatest life, the greatest happiness? And people can feel frustrated if anything or anyone gets in their way of living life to the full. Well, here we learn in the Gospel that if you want to live life to the full, you've got to look to Christ. You have to follow him. In him is eternal life. St. Peter said once to Jesus, "You alone, Lord Jesus, have the words of everlasting life." That's what we have here. We want to live life to the full. We have to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. We have to follow Jesus. Without Jesus, we're not living life to the full. We're missing out on life. In a way, it's like we're wasting time. You know, there are a lot of people who for years were living in the darkness of sin, and then they would convert to Christ, and they would actually admit that they felt that they were wasting their time in life not following Jesus. When you follow Christ, you realize that you should have been following him all along. But it's good to follow him even if you haven't followed him for a while. In him is the fullness of life. And then he speaks about light. Another thing people worry about is, are we moving in the right direction? They want to make sure they're moving in the right direction in their relationships, in their work, in all of their associations and their priorities, and what they want in life. Well, Jesus is teaching us that if we want to live in the light, that if we want to make sure that we're on the right path, we have to follow the Lord Jesus. We have to follow his word. You know, one of the great difficulties when you're lost somewhere is if you're driving somewhere and you get lost, you have to acknowledge that you've been going the wrong way for a long time, and that's a real frustration. Well, Jesus Christ is the light. You follow him, you're going in the right direction. You want to allow everything in your life be subordinated to his light, because in him, in his light, we're on the right path. Now, in this great sort of drama of these big themes of life and light, of eternal death and eternal darkness, we have a teaching that needs to be something that we interiorize. We have this teaching about God's love. Jesus says, "God so loved the world," which means God loves you. Now, it's important to understand this. You know, Jesus teaches us what we need to know. Everything that Jesus Christ teaches in the Holy Gospel, he says this because we don't know it and we need to know it. In the Garden of Eden, the devil kind of, I don't know how he did this, but he tricked Adam and Eve to step outside their knowledge of God. And it led them to sin, and then that lack of this living knowledge of God, of his wisdom, led to all kinds of disaster in humanity. So Jesus comes to repair that and to raise us up by teaching and teaching and teaching. He's telling us that God loves us. St. Paul, in one of his letters, speaks about God as being rich in mercy. That's another thing people don't often know. Think about what would life be like if we believed or we knew erroneously that God was not merciful. You believe in God who is the judge and you don't think he's merciful. Well, we'd be doomed because one sin, even a venial sin, would be the end of us because we've turned away from the Lord. Well, St. Paul is telling us, it's in his letter to the Ephesians, that God is rich in mercy. He also says that God is full of kindness, and that he reveals his kindness and mercy to us in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is rich in mercy. Mercy is like the key to access the heart of God, to access his kingdom. Without mercy, we're doomed. But with God's mercy, his divine mercy, we have hope. And this mercy is offered to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, there are people who don't understand God's mercy. I know someone who is like this. I know someone who years ago got into all kinds of sin, and he's bitterly angry and upset at what's happened to him. His life is worse off because of that, and he doesn't like to think of God. And the thing was, he used to be a devout Catholic. And I was talking to him once, and I said, well, God has many attributes. God is pure justice. God is holiness. God is life. God is light. God is truth. God is also mercy. And I said, you have to relate to God according to his mercy. That's the way back. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand that God is mercy itself. One of my priest friends in his preaching would always say that God's name is mercy. And if we've fallen far from the Lord, we have to remember he is merciful. Jesus tells us that God loves us. You know, sometimes in this great drama of am I going to make it to eternal life or to eternal loss, to eternal light or darkness, sometimes people can think that God is just watching us. He's looking down upon us and seeing what's going to happen to you. Well, that's not the case. Jesus teaches us that God loves us. That means he cares about you. He loves you. God loves you. And in Jesus, he comes to us. He's not just far from us. He's not just supreme majesty and the judge, but he's one with us. He comes to us in his Son, Jesus. So we have to believe in his love for us. We have to believe in his mercy. And again, if he's teaching us this, it means people don't understand this about the Lord. One time I met someone in a certain situation and his life was a real disaster. And he had made a lot of bad decisions in his life and his bad actions had caused disaster for other people. And I was just visiting this person and we were talking about some things, and he was a tough guy. And he started to ask me questions about God, and I started to tell him that God loved him. And when I said, God loves you, he turned around and he wouldn't look at me anymore. And then he would turn back around and look at me, and we started talking more. And later again, I would say, well, you know, because God is loving and he loves you. And when I said that, he would turn around again. And he did this about two more times in the conversation. Every time I said, God loves you, he would turn his back to me. And I found out that he was crying. Every time I said, God loves you, or God is merciful, he began to cry. And since he was a tough guy, he didn't want to show me that he was crying. And he finally told me that he had believed in God all of his life. And he believed that God made him, and he believed in the Ten Commandments, but he told me that no one ever told me that God loved me. His whole life, he never knew that God loved him. Now, can you imagine what that must be like? You believe that God created you, he gives you the Ten Commandments. If you don't follow him, you'll end up in hell. If you do follow him, you'll end up in heaven. But you don't think he loves you. In fact, you believe that he doesn't. Well, that's a tremendous, tremendous burden to live under. And I try to do my best to convince him of this. Well, Jesus does that also by his teaching. He loves us. You know how sometimes people will ask children, how much do you love me? And the kid will say, I love you this much, Dad or Mom. Or I love you this much. Well, on the crucifix, Jesus, it's like this. I love you this much. He lays down his life. He's trying to prove to us again and again that God loves us. Remember Adam and Eve when they sinned? One of the first things they did was they hid from God. They didn't want anything to do with God. They didn't think he loved them anymore. And Jesus is teaching us by his word that God loves you. He is your Father. And if you don't believe his words, well, look at his actions. He lays down his life on the cross to show you that his love for you is infinite and his mercy is infinite. Christ does not come to condemn us. He comes to show us God's love and to enable us to participate in this love. One time I was at a church and I was about to say Mass, and I went outside to, it was a warm day, and I went outside to begin the procession of the priest coming into the church. And there was a person outside the church, and he was looking down at the ground, and he would look up to me, and he'd look back down, and then look up to me. And I said, sir, I'm about to start Mass. It's time to go in. You can go in the church now. And he says, Father, I cannot go into that church. And I said, why not? And he said, Father, if I go into that church, the building is going to collapse on me. And I looked up at the church, and I said, I don't detect any structural problems with this building. I think you'll be okay. And I said, you can go in. And what I understood was that he had been away from the Lord and from his faith for so many years, he felt that God could not and would not love him, that God was going to strike him and make the building fall on him as soon as he walked in the church. He didn't believe in God's love, and that failure to believe in God's love was keeping him away from going even to a church. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus is teaching us that God loves us, and we have to accept his mercy. One of the greatest sort of gifts, if you will, that we can have is the mercy of God in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, I've been a priest for 11 years, and I've heard confessions in many places, and I see the power of divine mercy really lift people's souls, make them alive once again, make them fully alive. And it's the life of Christ dwelling within them. They experience a spiritual resurrection in this sacrament. When you don't experience God's mercy, when you don't believe in his mercy or his love, you're like in a spiritual prison inside. It's like everything is dead within. You're alive in your body, but you feel dead in your soul. Well, the mercy of Christ in the sacrament of reconciliation shatters the bars of that prison and lets you out. It's like Jesus says to you, like you said to Lazarus, come out, come forth. The sacrament of reconciliation is awesome. When we go to confession and make an integral, complete confession, the mercy of Jesus really touches our soul and makes us new. And we have to have a great love for this sacrament, for the gift of divine mercy. Now, we need to accept the mercy of the Lord. Believe in it, but we can't presume upon it. We don't want to take it for granted. We don't want to say, well, God's loving and merciful, therefore I commit every sin in the book. Well, that's not living life to the full. It's not living in the light, and it's not responding to God's mercy and love. And so, brothers and sisters, we have this wonderful teaching from Jesus Christ our Lord that God loves you, that he's merciful. He is. And we have to believe this. It's the truth. But believing in this and accepting God's love and mercy puts upon us a responsibility. And this one is not so easy to live. If God is merciful to us, then we need to be merciful to others. Jesus teaches us in the Our Father, forgive us, Lord, our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He teaches us again and again that we have to be merciful. Forgiveness towards others is like putting a limit upon evil. John Paul the Great used to speak about the mercy of God would put a limit upon the evil of sin. Think about the sacrament of reconciliation. The evil of our sins meets up against God's mercy, and the mercy of God makes us new. Sin doesn't have to take over our life. Well, when we forgive others, it's the same sort of thing that happens. I'm discovering that the older someone gets, such as me, the older I get, the older you get, the greater the odds someone is going to offend you or hurt you somehow. It seems that's a law of human life, that people are going to bump into you, people are going to lie to you, they're going to belittle you and bully you and persecute you and cause all kinds of suffering in your life. Well, you're either going to hate them or you're going to forgive them. If you hate, you've lost the battle. If you don't forgive, then the evil of someone's sin lives within your heart. It stays within you. It weighs you down and eats you up on the inside. And it makes you get old really fast. Well, if you forgive, yeah, you still have the wound of the sin that someone committed against you. They might commit it again, even if they don't repent. But that forgiveness shields your heart. Your heart's not going to be consumed by the evil of their sin. You forgive them. And when you start to feel angry again, you forgive them again. And we have to ask God for the grace to help us to forgive others. Forgiveness is so important in our own lives and in the world. If you look at the world on a big scale, look at all these countries that are fighting wars all the time. Well, what's going to bring world peace? It's got to be forgiveness. People and nations and tribes and all kinds of people have to forgive others. Otherwise, it's just going to be revenge, 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 and there'll never be peace. There'll be what the Second Vatican Council calls the awful peace of death, and that's no peace at all. The peace we're looking for is a peace of life. It's the peace of happiness, of communion, of solidarity. And forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness in our own personal relationships, in families, in marriages, in communities. Forgiveness among nations is so necessary. And that's what Jesus comes to teach. He came to teach us that His Father is merciful and that we have to be merciful as well. And so, brothers and sisters, here we have this simple yet profound teaching from our Lord that God loves us so much that He's merciful and that we can accept His love and His mercy. And we should do this day after day after day to believe that God loves us, that He loves you. He knows you better than you know yourself, and He loves you. That's the truth. God our Father knows you better than you know yourself, and who He knows, He loves. And so, brothers and sisters, accept the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Accept His mercy and share these gifts of God's love and mercy to others. The world needs us, needs you to be a person that leads people to know God's love and His mercy. These people I told you about who didn't believe in God's love and mercy, they represent millions of people all over the earth. And who knows, it might be you, and only you, who shows someone the love and mercy of our Lord Jesus. And that could change their life. It could save their soul and lead them to heaven. God bless you.